For 5 days, August 6th through the 10th of August, Janice Adams will host a writer's retreat in the Catskills. The hands-on workshop intensive is for new and seasoned writers with a work in progress, with space limited to 8 attendees. The program affords each participant time to write, read, reflect, share positive criticism, and grow in a supportive environment. Janice Adams was tapped by the Ford Foundation to train and mentor scholars to write for non-academic audiences. She's traveled the country doing that for 7 years, and now she's sharing proven strategies with new and seasoned writers of narrative nonfiction as well as fiction. Emmy Award-winning journalist, historian, publisher, and producer, Janice Adams is the author of 10 books and creator of Backpacks Children's Media, a frequent on-air guest. She's appeared on Air America, CNN, Fox News, NPR, and The Today Show, a former talk show host and NPR correspondent. Her broadcast commentaries are heard on NPR, and her syndicated column is in its 15th year. Her work has been featured in such publications as Essence and Ms. Magazines, The New York Times, The Washington Post, and USA Today. An entrepreneur, she has founded Harambee. Am I right on that?
Yes.
Harambee, the first national book club for African American literature and culture, changing the publishing landscape for authors and audiences. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Janice Adams to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
It's nice to have a pro when you came in. The way you picked up the headphones very confidently and put them on, obviously you've been in radio for a long time.
I love radio, and I have been in radio for a long time.
So what brings you to Catskill to do this retreat?
Well, actually, I've moved to the area recently, and I say, my goodness, how did I, a city girl, get to a place where the chickens are talking to me down the road? But I absolutely love it. I went to school here as an undergraduate at New Paltz.
Yep.
Did graduate school in California and Massachusetts. Actually, I spent some time at one of your member stations, WFCR in Amherst.
Wow. Yes. Wonderful.
Spent 2 years there. So, but I've come to the Catskills because it just is a wonderful place. I am writing myself now. I needed a place of solace. And I thought, why not help others achieve the same thing? Bring other people together and let's just talk about this business of writing and how to do your best in it.
I want to talk about the festival or the retreat and what it is that you're trying to do. But before we do that, I want to touch on something that you just mentioned, and that is the importance of place. How important is it where we do the physical act of writing?
Well, you know, a room of one's own, that's Virginia Woolf. So
right.
we've got that model. There are some people, J.K. Rowling referred to her writing in a cafe. It doesn't have to be a specific place, but it has to be the place that works for you.
Yeah.
And the place that works for you will feed you, will nurture you, will give you the right sustenance. For me, I am a person who's from New York City, grew up there, went to New York's High School of Performing Arts, so I'm accustomed to being in the crash and thunder of New York City. And I also am a person who in contrast, needs the city energy, and I also need the retreat. So for me, the being up here in the country in Ulster was a wonderful opportunity that I couldn't turn down.
I remember Pete Hamill saying that he was having a particular difficult time with a section of the book, and he had to just got on the subway and ran from one end of it to the other because he couldn't concentrate unless there was so much noise.
Do you know, as a young music student, I used to study my scores commuting on the subway, and there's still a clickety-clack. That is part of the mental score of some of this music.
Yeah.
Yes, the train does, you know, it has rhythm, it has pulse, it has an energy, and that is what Pete Hamill writes with, this Brooklynite.
What can we do? How much can we learn in 5 days? In the sense of yes, taking this retreat and coming into the Catskills and into ourselves and our work and with others and say, okay, this is what we can do in a short period of time.
I think it's more what you can hone, and as with so many things, you're always surprised when you go out to learn something new that the answer, Dorothy, is right there at home with you.
Right.
You know, and that is is very much, I think, a part of what we're talking about doing. But it is, there is a process of honing, of getting to that place where you trust yourself to say, this is what works for me. So that's what we're looking to bring out in these 5 days. We're looking to help people shape, to sculpt themselves as writers, to sculpt that project, deliver it, and also kind of clear out some of the distractions. That's what's wonderful about a retreat, because you do get to focus. It is a luxury. It is a promise you make to yourself that I'm going to take this thing that I do seriously, and I'm going to give it my all for 5 days. And I think that intensity, even relaxed intensity, is absolutely important. It's critical, because so often people come to writing and it's something they always dreamed of doing. It's something they always thought of doing. But, you know they have to keep their day job. They have to juggle family. They have to do this. But at a certain point, the only way to do it is to sit in the chair, whether with a pen or a computer or whatever is your companion, and do it. And that requires taking yourself seriously. It also requires hearing yourself. It requires others you trust hearing for you, providing that filter that is the outside audience. You know, I've been in writers' workshops where you had writers on all different levels. Some who really, you know, were not very strong. But because a good writer is also a good reader, even the writer who wasn't very strong as a writer had very good ears and could give you that feedback, could give me that feedback, even though, you know, I'm on the 11th or 12th book. So I think the interplay is also very much a part of what this retreat delivers.
Let me explore that with you for a moment, of the correlation between reader and writer. If you are a voracious reader and you are an admirer of the craft, what advantage does that give you? Because I think that is what will often fuel people into thinking, yes, I would like to do this. But there is a point where a practical point where you may say, okay, but maybe I shouldn't, or B, you know.
Well, my books, I'll just give you an example from personal experience. Most of my books have actually been history based. I'm now working on a memoir, and there comes a time when the historian has to confront one's own history, and that's what I'm doing with this memoir. But the distance that I had as a historian, where I could, you know, be at hand, arm's length to some of these things, act as though it was personal, was something that I had to get around. I also knew that I needed a different sense of rhythm. And I not only read 5 Grisham books in a row, I listened to them for the rhythm of the language and the pace of the action. On my iPod, I downloaded or uploaded, one way or the other, the audiobook versions of it. I have also found immense energy coming from the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series. You know, I think I've, once again, because I, for me, hey, I'm a radio person, the audio is always very important to me, but I have found great power in the rhythm of the language. And so it, whether you get it in book form, whether you get it in ebook form, whether you get it in audiobook form, this passion for language is what you're getting through the voracious reading or voracious listening. You're also getting techniques. Whether you know it or not, you're getting a sense of how literature works that you can call upon when you need it. It's like a musician practicing scales. At a certain point, the hands need that muscle, needs to be exercised. And that's what you're doing when you're doing this voracious reading and listening.
A lot of it is a mind game, isn't it? Where you have to say, okay, I'm going to set aside this time. I'm going to do this. I'm going to channel my inner journalist. I mean, it's a lot of playing with your head.
It's exercising that muscle. You know, it is discipline. It is hard work. We tend to think of, you know, there is a myth, some created by writers, that you can do this craft half drunk, half out of your mind, you know, high on something. No, you can't. You know, you really can't.
Hemingway could. Nobody else can,
and,
right?
And, you know, and Hemingway, bless his soul, you know, he, at a certain point, he had to clean up and edit. So, you know, this is hard work. You don't go to any other profession and say, you know, I did it when I was just stoned out of my mind. And, you know, no, you don't. You sit down and you work at your craft and you deliver a finished product. And that, too, is what this retreat is about. It's about clearing away some of the cobwebs and also some of the myths and also some of the self-imposed barriers that one puts up to doing the work that they need to do. I mean, it took me many years to say out loud that I was a writer, which is ridiculous. I'd been, my mother told me that I had been writing since I was like four. She said, and she told me my first poem. She said, my first poem was, "It's Christmas, it's Christmas, it's Christmas again. It's coming, I don't know when." Well, I was four at the time. Give me a little time to mature. But that was my first poem. Thankfully, Mom remembered it. But it took me until about 44 to say, I'm really a writer.
I find interesting in the retreat that you have, it's eight people.
Yes.
And that, I assume, for you is a doable number.
I wanted everybody to really be able to have a hands-on experience. I wanted them to have a work-changing experience and a life-changing experience. When I've been in writers in retreats that are much larger, you find that maybe the group doesn't, you never get to read maybe more than two or three pages at a time because we have to move on to other people in the group and get everybody in. And that isn't what I wanted this to be. I really wanted this to be about getting your book written. Even if you, certainly you're not going to get through all 220 to 250 pages, but when you really hone and get in 5 days your chunk of 50 to 75 pages really heard, really, you know, worked on, you come back, you then develop the skill that you can then carry through. It's like when you go to a health retreat for a couple of days and all of a sudden you're eating healthy food, you know, you're following the regimen, you get up early, you do whatever. The point is not that now I'm healthy for life. The point is that you've set a pattern for yourself that if you choose, you can now follow for your life. And that's what we're trying to do with this 5-day retreat. And that's why I've kept it small.
Dr. Janice Adams is our guest this morning. We're talking about the Writer's Retreat in the Catskills, which is happening August 6th through the 10th. Are all eight slots taken?
No, we have room for a few more. Unfortunately, we had a couple of people have to drop out, a couple for illness.
Yeah.
And so we are open for business, and we're hoping that people listening to this will go to the website, JaniceAdams.com, and I should spell my name, which
yes.
is JanusAdams, Adams, ADAMS.com. Janus for January, the month in which I was born. So it's JanusAdams.com. And right on that website, you'll find everything you need to know about the retreat. You'll see deadline August 1st, but obviously for listeners of WAMC, we've extended that.
When it comes to the end of the experience, at the end of the 5 days, what do you hope that people have with them when they leave?
I think those who are seasoned writers will feel, okay, I now am over this hurdle that brought me here. I can now go and finish, go forth, be fruitful. I think for people who are new writers, but even new writers, we ask to come with something in process. You're not coming with an empty page. With those people, they then will have the confidence that now other writers have actually taken them seriously. They're part of the fold. You know, they can call themselves new writers, but now they have been inducted into this fraternity sorority of writers, and they can also go forth and really deliver what they plan to do. I hesitated for a moment because I wanted to share one experience that I had with another writer who came to me with, he was a professor. Mm-hmm. He is a professor. He had been laid off. And he was bemoaning the fact that he now was the only work he could find. And I don't mean bemoaning lightly. He was mourning the fact that the only work he could find, which was barely going to take care of him and his family, was manual work. And so he was writing an op-ed about this fact. And I said, no, that is not the piece you want to put out there. Number one, if you are a scholar who's laid off, you're still a scholar. You want to bring your scholarship and your discipline and your passion to what you're doing. If you do find that the only thing you can do right now is the manual labor job, then apply what you really know as a scholar to that. And then let us know from a scholarly standpoint what that really means. But don't allow yourself to put out something that is really not your best. Your calling card to the world right now, doctor, person's name, first name, last name, is not defeat. Your calling card to the world is what you've learned, your scholarship, and what we can learn from the experience. That's also what we want our writers to do.
I've heard it described two ways from the writers that I've talked to about this, is that some people almost use the writing as a way of working through, of getting through a situation, of taking stock. And then there's other people who need that time to fully go through it and come out the other side before they're able to write about it in retrospect. And it's a long way of asking the question about emotion. When you use the word of describing this gentleman as bemoaning, and you don't want to wallow in it.
No, and I didn't, that's why I recast the word, because no, I didn't want to imply or cast him in a negative light.
Absolutely. And oh my God, you know, and it's a tragic thing when you lose it. So, I mean, the understanding there, but my question is, should we do things in an emotive state?
I think it depends on what you're writing. There are some times when it is that absolute passion that we need, because what you're really doing is you're communicating to another person something that we all know and feel about the experience of being human. And so the fact that you are emotional on the page may be the tone you need to set. Now, if you are a scholar, there is a way that you then have to box that. You know, publish or perish. You still are publishing and perishing. Maybe you want to take that emotion to reach out to other people who are now feeling the same thing and see what the collective experience is and how to write about that. Excuse me. But maybe if you're a novelist, I had something I wanted to write. I've been working also on a work of historical fiction. And I remembered something just in a conversation in passing the other day. And it was a terrible experience. But I hit my head and said, oh, my goodness, now I know what she was feeling.
Yeah.
And I went to the computer and immediately, completely out of context of where I was in what I was writing, I wrote that scene. And it was so real and so pure and so true, because I had hit that core within myself and felt it and was able to bring it to the page.
And it was fresh within you.
It was fresh and it hurt like the devil. And I was able, therefore, to catalog what I was feeling and bring that to the page to give truth to her.
Well, there's a lot to be learned, and you can learn much of it at this five-day retreat. It's August 6th through the 10th. It is the Catskill Writers Retreat in the Catskills. Janice Adams is doing the retreat, and you can find out more information by going to her website, which is janusadams.com. It's J-A-N-U-S Adams, A-D-A-M-S.com. J-A-N-U-S, janusadams.com. Janice, I thank you so much for being here. You're an absolute delight to speak to, and people are very lucky to be able to share in your knowledge, and I thank you very much for sharing that knowledge with us this morning.
I thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be listening to you for the last year since I've moved to the Catskills, and I thank you for the work you do.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, janusadams.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.